Hello and welcome to my podcast. It's Learn Reiki Connect and it's with me, Tracy Matthews. So we, this week, are talking about the benefits of meditating every day. Now this is part one and there will be two other parts because this is really an important part of our journey and our life into feeling so much more better. And we're going to sort of delve into that in a minute. But I really just want to say a warm welcome to everybody. I hope you're well. I hope your week is going good because this space is really about helping each other to connect with that all-knowing, expansive part of ourself. You know, connecting in with the divine source energy, tuning in, listening to that part and helping us out in our daily lives, because this is really what this podcast is about. Tuning in to the very part of ourselves that holds that vibration, that light, and recognizing our own power, the power of the mind, the power that we can heal and we can raise our vibration. Now, if you listened to last week's, which I hope you did, we were talking about what happens during a Reiki session. And we just looked at how powerful these sessions are. They're there for a reason. They're there to help, to reconnect and gain clarity. And listen to the higher self. You know, I shared some really incredible experiences with just being privy to seeing and sensing and feeling when a loved one visits a person that's having a session. Maybe it's their spirit guide. And how after that Reiki session, they're just in total peace. They feel good. They feel better. And I always call it, Liz, a little bit of a window of opportunity, where, you know, we can just sort of continue in our lives. You know, we feel better and a person then goes off and does whatever it is that they felt that they couldn't really accomplish or do previously. So really, I want to jump straight in this week's podcast, because like I said, really looking at the benefits of meditating every day. So that brings up some questions. How are you doing with your meditation? How's it all going for you? Do you meditate? Now, you know, we're talking about meditating every day because sometimes doing a kickstart and doing it for a period of time really helps us out. So you might have noticed, I have mentioned, and on, especially if you're on YouTube, but if you're listening on another platform, you might want to go and check that out, because I've done a 21 days meditation challenge. And I'm going to talk a little bit more sort of around that with the podcast, because I think that's really key. Because a lot of us are facing mental health, stress, anxiety, and quite often we're not feeling our best. So this really brings us back to meditation, because we now realise there is a lot more to meditation. But of course, getting into meditation is one thing. So are you struggling with switching your busy mind off? You know, what's your intention to meditate? I always find that that's a way to sort of really stick at it, because if you're going to do it because you want to have peace, like recently with doing the 21 days meditation, I really wanted to quieten my mind. And because of that, I did the 21 days. I did that with everybody. So I think that's quite sort of key, really. But on today's podcast, there's a couple of areas I really wanted to sort of dive into a little bit more to help you out for yourself. And these areas are, one, making the time to meditate. Two, the mind frequency of meditation. And the third one, how to deal with an overthinking mind. So stick around. Don't go anywhere. Just stay with me. Hit that subscribe button so that you're able to join me every week and, like we said, do this together. So, making the time. This is one of the things that I brought up within the 21 days. And you'll notice that I'm bringing these tips, if you like, these things that we talk about so that we can go over them again. Because why are we mentioning time again? Well, for the simple reason, this plays a big part in our meditation. And the reason being is because when we meditate, this is a doing and an action that is required by us. And what I mean by that is that we will always have to try and make the time to meditate. Now, I use the expression, you know, time doesn't find us. We have to make that time. Now, what that looks like is that on our part, there has to be a level of thought that goes into it. You know, we're all different. We have different patterns of work which dictate, if you like, the time that's left for us. And when we start to meditate, like for example, using a 21 days meditation challenge, we've got to plan it. So maybe you've tuned into that and you've done either the whole 21 days, or maybe you did one or two, or maybe you haven't done it at all. You know, with anything with meditation, there is a level of planning to it. Now, what that looks like is, when is the right time for you to do your meditation? When is that right time for you? You know, for some people, it's the morning. Before the household gets up, before you just might be a person that naturally wakes up quite early. So, of course, that's going to be the best time for you to do your meditation. It might mean that you're up early, often you do a work. And then when you get back, your afternoon is the right time. Or maybe you have school pickup and there's that little bit of time just before you go and pick up the children. Maybe that's your time. For others, it might be the evening. You know, after we've done the meal, we've done the household chores, maybe kiddies have gone to bed. You know, everyone's very different. Or maybe you've finished work and that is now your time. It's the evening. And maybe that is the space that feels just right for you to take that little bit of time out. So what is that right time for you? That window of opportunity? Now, for me, it's the early morning, 6:15 to 7:15, before I start my work. And I just find that that kind of works for me. I have tried meditation, and I've also recently been doing the five elements. And if anyone knows a little bit about that, you do a 41 day, you're using the mala beads, and some of the mantras you do need to do at different parts of the day. And I'm going to be honest, some of them you have to do at dusk, which is the one that I'm approaching. And I'm thinking, oh, I've now got to try and escape for an hour or, you know, try and put that in. So, you know, I'm going to be honest, sometimes it does ruffle our feathers a little bit, like, ooh, because I know morning's perhaps the best time. But it might mean that there are certain types of meditation or certain ways of doing it that might mean that you need to look at your time. So, I mean, I've got that kind of down. I'm preparing for it. Let my household of my family know so that when I go and just go off for 20 minutes, everybody's not, where's mum gone? You know, there's none of that going on. So that might be something that you would need to sort of think about. So really, it's finding that right time for you. And I think also having a reason as to why you want to do it is one of the most biggest motivators that's going to help us to stick to it. I know what mine is, and it might mean that you would have to have a little think about, well, what is yours? So something to add, which I bring up in the tips of the 21-day meditation challenge, is that I talk about mind frequencies. So I kind of really want to talk about it again, because I think this is going to help. So when I talk about mind frequencies, what do I mean? Well, we know that there are these frequencies of the mind that we go into every single day. Whether we wake up in the morning, go to sleep, or do shift patterns, you're going to be in these frequencies. Though you've probably heard them. Beta, which is a fast-paced, busier mind where we've got to get work done, we've got to get stuff done. And then we've got alpha, which is a slower brainwave. This is like the daydream, a calmness, but a focus. Then we have theta. This is just before we go to sleep at night. This is where, pretty much like alpha, we're in that right side of the brain. But when we're in theta, it becomes more focused. This is where the pictures are, the imagination. And then we've got delta, which is sleep, an unconscious state of astral travel, dream. Now, here's the thing with this. Most of us sit way higher than beta. Now, what does that look like? Well, that's the fight, flight, and freeze. Now, why is this so important? Well, unless we understand where we sit for most of the portion of our day, whether that's at work or wherever, whatever we're doing, I think this is really going to help us, because the work that I do, and I help people one-to-one to connect in with just tuning out, using a very powerful intention of the mind, to which Yusui brought in using Yusui Reiki, of how we can then meditate. But a lot of us, a lot of the clients, are stressed, meaning that there is a level of anxiety. There's a level of anxious stress over work, and you know, we talk about that so that we can help identify as to what is contributing to a lot of our stress and a lot of just feeling anxious, just feeling heavy, going out in public and not understanding why you feel, and just days where we wake up and we just feel low. Or maybe there's an intrusiveness of the thoughts of the mind. Or maybe it's just simply that we are working in our jobs that give us no joy. Or maybe it's just too busy. This happens a lot, where we're probably doing two people's work, or it's been split between a team, and you're trying to do not only your job, but someone else's job as well. This takes its toll. So I think you get the picture. We just need to sort of understand for ourselves what's going on for us. I always think this is quite sobering as well, because it might mean as well that when you start to look at that fight, flight, and freeze, that you're fighting through something, or you're trying to avoid, or you just keep getting stuck all the time and your anxiety is so high, that maybe you sit in that frequency all the time. Maybe that's a large portion of your work life. Or maybe it's a large portion of where you are at the moment. And this can feel a little disheartening when we realise I'm stressed. Maybe we didn't quite realise it, because this is quite a reactive state that we get into. We're just so busy sort of, you know, reacting to what's going on around us that we don't really unwind. We don't really get calm. We're not really at peace. So we use other things, and our world is full of them, in order to put us into a calmer state, or to feel a certain way, which is quite often quite temporary. So where are you with that? If you were to have just a quick sort of survey of where you are now, where would you say that you sit? Is it sort of more in beta, where it's just all fast, fast, bang, bang? Do you have moments of alpha where you're more slower, more daydream, more calm? And theta, again, when we go to sleep at night, it's just recognizing what we're doing already. And then I always think the key is then finding that in our everyday lives. And we'll sort of come to that in a minute. But it might mean that we've sort of realised that we're kind of going through the motions a little bit, that we've switched off. We're going constantly into this mode where we keep getting stuck. So how do we break out of that? How do we sort of get past when we go into meditation, then our mind goes into overdrive? What do we do for a situation like that? Well, I always, when I talk to the different clients, and I've done so with myself, is the first thing to do is to break that pattern of that when we get into a quiet space, we just go into one, because that puts us off, or anything. We notice that when we go into a meditation, we're so bogged down with thoughts going on, they're actually not enjoying it. Then we go into feeling quite bored. So how can we deal with an overthinking mind, if that's what's going on for you for meditation? That you've recognised that you are in that fight, flight and freeze. You might be in a combination of it, or one of them might just sort of resonate with you. So you start your meditation and then your mind is really sort of going overtime. And what we mean by going overtime, you're just getting these random thoughts. It's like your mind wants to sort of take you everywhere. Maybe this is the time where worry clicks in for you. Being left alone with the thoughts feel a little bit sort of apprehensive. Maybe there are certain thoughts you don't actually want to think about, but then they start coming up because you're in the quieter, calmer space. Sometimes this can sort of start a battle, that the minute we get into this meditative state, or we're trying to put ourselves in, then, well, we've got a battle. We're battling with our mind to try and not to have anything in our mind. Well, I think this is quite sort of something that goes on with all of us. And if this is happening for you, you know, you're not alone. Now, in one of the videos, I talk about this with the 21 days meditation, where it might mean that we literally have to acknowledge those thoughts. Maybe that's the only time that we're able to sort of confront these thoughts. Maybe to sort of acknowledge them. And maybe acknowledging them, but then releasing them so that there doesn't sort of keep the battle going. So that we are basically able to allow these thoughts to come in, but then they don't disturb us. The other thing is when you have an overthinking mind, and it gets worse when you start your meditation, what's really good about still going there is that it will help you to break a pattern. And that pattern is when we get into that reactive, high alert, stressed state of being. And I always like to sort of help people to recognize what that looks like before you get into meditation. Because I think some of us think that meditation is where we're going to be completely knocked out, that we don't know anything around us. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. And yes, you can have those just wonderful experiences now and again. But for the most part, going into a meditation is very similar to what you are already doing. Now, normally when I have that conversation with people, they're a little bit like, oh, I'm already doing it. And this brings us back to something that we're doing unconsciously as to being now aware of it and being conscious of it. And I use the example as a bit like our heart. Our heart is beating all the time. It's not until we focus on the heart and realise, oh, it's beating. Or sometimes if you've done a run, it's beating fast, or your heart skips a beat, sometimes that can happen, that you become aware of it. And this is now brings us to, well, when are you aware, or perhaps now bringing that awareness to when you are already in alpha? Now, we go into these frequencies every day, when we wake up to when we go to sleep. Now, for some people, that is jogging. It's walking. It's when you're with your pet, your cat. You just sit there and you're just stroking them. And you're very just sort of unaware of anything, but you have a peace and calm. It might be when you take your dog for a walk. When you visit your stable and you go to your horse. Is when you're walking by water. Do you get the picture? When you paint, when you draw, it's when you feel peace. It's when you have a calmness. It's almost like time doesn't exist. You just break into a daydream and you are aware of what's around you, but nothing is affecting you. That's alpha. You know, I mention a coffee because if you're like me, I like to sit and have a coffee. But you know how many times, and I wasn't even aware of it at that time. And I used to drop the girls to school and I'd go and sit in a coffee shop. And before I start work, I would just sit there and I'd just go into this sort of space. I didn't realise that that was alpha. It took me some years to actually look at my frequencies, look at what I'm doing. Because the reason why this is, I think, so interesting and fascinating and why it's going to help is that we're not going to be looking for these out-of-body experiences when we go into our meditation. Because they really are just normal states of being where we do feel calm and at peace. And sometimes it just means we've got to get past that when we start our routine for meditating. You know, I think sometimes we hold that expectation that it's meant to be a certain way. But actually, you're doing it already. And that's one of the biggest messages I really kind of want to help people to understand. You know, it was that moment myself where I realised, wow, this is the same meditative state. So if we can go into it naturally and we don't have to make any effort. So this is a state of being that we go into every single time. It's just really now is for us to just be aware of that so that we hold an expectation of meditation not being something that we think it should be, that we've heard it could be, but actually it's our owning how we go into meditation. And sometimes we do that very different ways. And we're going to be talking about that in another part. So how can we break then the pattern of our busy, stressed lives if we're sitting in that fight and flight? And then when we go into the meditation, we try, then our mind is really just going 10 to the dozen. It's really about breaking out of that overthinking and that busy mind. Well, how do we do that? Well, one of the best ways to do that is to meditate every day. What that will do is kickstart a process. Yes, the mind monkeys will try and interrupt. You know, we all have that attack of the mind going a little bit more faster, a little bit more crazier when we go into a more of a quieter space. But I find this quite interesting because I've noticed that there are two responses to the change of introducing meditation. And this might help you to identify this within yourself. And you might be aware of your own. So this is just something that I have noticed. The first one is that sometimes there's a realization on our part that we have got used to sitting in fight, flight or freeze. And when you then go into your meditation and then you start sitting in there and then you start feeling alpha, you actually feel a bit lost without the adrenaline that stress can give us. Now, has that ever happened to you? Now, I've come across that. I've seen that happen. And that's quite a sobering point because it just shows that our pattern, not only have we got so used to it, but we've also kind of got attached to feeling that way. And that might mean that we've got to sort of like look at that and look at how we can still get the adrenaline, but not with being in fight and flight. The other one is that the mind goes into an overdrive. Now, we were just talking about this, but it's almost like consistently every time you go in and do your meditation, it goes bang. But I just really kind of want to let you know that this is all workable. This is something that it really will take you practicing. Like I mentioned, this is an actual doing. This is an action thing that we have to do. In order to get the real benefits of it, the only way that we're going to get to see this is if we do it ourselves. And that might mean that we have to be a little bit more disciplined. It might mean that we've got to really look at how our work is and then to fit that 30 minutes to start with, because that's what I've done with a 21 days meditation challenge. We started with one video at 20 minutes and then we consistently go at 30 minutes. And then for the last three of the 21 days, we sit with an hour because there's a shift that happens during there. Well, two things can happen. We get interrupted and that can happen, or we consistently go and then we will sit there and then sitting for an hour is going to be fine. Something else I noticed when I just did the 21 days meditation with everyone as well, is that when I stopped doing it, I began to feel a bit flat. I felt a little bit low. Has that happened to you if you did it, or maybe not on this occasion, but you started that, you did it, and then all of a sudden your sort of routine slightly changed. And that's just recently happened to me. So for the last week, I haven't been doing at that particular time because I'm preparing for my next time to do it. But I kind of wondered why I felt a bit low and a little bit sort of flat. And I think it's because our vibration gets raised. We start to feel better. We start to have a clearer thinking. And when we feel better and our vibration raises, then, well, we can do a lot more things. You know, I really did notice that. And perhaps you noticed that yourself. So with this meditating every day, just a little recap. We will need to look at the time. And I just really want to sort of help people to realize that this frequency, or the frequency of the mind when you go into meditation, you're doing it already. And I always just like to help people to sort of, when is that time for you? When do you go into that alpha state? the next time, just before you go to sleep at night. And again, this is providing that state is not interrupted, because you can be laying there, you can't sleep, it might be insomnia, that's slightly different. But if you just go into sleep and then you just go into that theta, then you start thinking, but you're not actively thinking. It's that part of the mind. Little things just come through, the pictures come through, and next minute, you don't even know. You've gone to sleep, you slipped into delta. And that's really how powerful we really are. This is within you. This is within me, and it's just realising that. And then, of course, one of the most incredible benefits of meditation is going to be with our mind. And especially if you are dealing with an over-thinking mind, which is making you very anxious at whatever part, whether it's your work, identifying how that is and where that is for you. And then how, if we consistently put this little bit of a routine in place, this will break a pattern. And that pattern is going to be that the mind is just really, it's got used to it, it's got used to being in that adrenaline rush of fight, flight and freeze. Or it might just simply mean that you just keep getting interrupted. But if we just look at the acknowledging and releasing, then that's really going to help. So I hope this has just helped you a little bit. Maybe you're at that point that you're wanting to start to meditate. You want to improve your well-being. And that's, I'm going to be honest, that was one of the things, the reason why I have just done a 3-week 21 days as well. So like I mentioned, I've put together 21 days meditation challenge. Now this is on YouTube. It's absolutely free. Now how this works, you'll see me visually. We go through each video with a small tip, and then we switch out the visual, and then we go into the meditation. The only way we're going to see if this works and get the benefits is if you do it yourself, that you see the powerful light that is within you. And there might be many reasons. Many of you, you've maybe a Reiki level one practitioner, Reiki master, and you know, we all get busy. Maybe you haven't done a little bit of meditation for a while. Because sometimes we sort of do it, I don't know what it is, but we sometimes we get into crisis mode, and then we remember this gift, this beautiful thing that we've got, which can help us out, which is the light within us. So there might be lots of reasons why that just restarting or kickstarting your meditation to do it every day. So maybe you got stuck, maybe you've just done a Reiki course, or maybe you're thinking that you'd like to use this intentional method, which is learning Yasui Reiki. So I hope this has been helpful, useful. And don't miss part two, because we're going to look at just how powerful when we daily do our meditation really is. So don't forget, hit the subscribe button so that you don't miss the next one. Like I said, I'm on YouTube, Spotify, and I'm listed on other platforms. You might also like to visit the website learnreikiandconnect.co.uk. There you're going to find all the support and help that I've put in place, whether that's the online Reiki healing courses, level 1 and 2, or maybe you'd like to do a live over Skype with me for the levels 1, 2 and 3. Or it might even be the hypnosis method of QHHT, which is Dolores Cannon's way of hypnosis, and of course the Akashic Records and the art of dowsing. So do take care, and I look forward to speaking to you next time. So bye for now.